Let's pray as we look together at God's word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your inspired, inerrant words. We pray now that you would apply it with power, even through my human words, for the glory of Jesus. Amen. So we're looking at the Beatitudes. We're going to look at the first one this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus, this is a large teaching section within Matthew's gospel. Starts Matthew 5:1 and goes right through to Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. If you've got a Bible like mine, it's all red. Page after page of amazing teaching from Jesus. And somebody's once called this Jesus, King Jesus inaugural address. So it's setting the scene, the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus is teaching his disciples. Right there in verse 1, it's wonderful. It says, Jesus sits down, that's a sign of authority and power, as he's seated on the throne. And he sits down, and it says this wonderful thing there. This is what we're doing this morning. Jesus' disciples came to him. So he sits down on the mountain, and his disciples come to him. They're seeking his presence. They're wanting to know what Jesus is going to say. And he starts to teach them. And it's in connection, obviously, with the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's gospel, where it says we are to obey everything that he has commanded. And these are the commands of Jesus. So in this teaching block of Matthew, just to set this in context, we have the Beatitudes, the first 12 verses that Mary read for us. Then it goes on in the teaching block, ethical admonitions, or somebody's called them the similitudes, the Beatitudes onto the similitudes, and then from verses, the rest of the chapters and the teaching, it's about the contrast between the teaching of the Jewish religious system and the new covenant of the Lord Jesus, which he is bringing in himself. So let's look briefly at this first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful promise. It's a statement of fact. So there's three things there. Firstly, we need to look at what it means to be blessed. Secondly, we need to look at what it means to be poor in spirits. And thirdly, very briefly, to look at what it means the kingdom of heaven, which we have touched on before. So, blessed. Now, thank God for all the modern translations that we have. Some are more accurate to the Hebrew and the Greek than others. So if we're seriously studying the Word of God, we need to look at the original language. And the word blessed is a Greek word, which is makarios, makarios. And that is a blessing, which means a state of a person's highest good. So it's good to bless one another, isn't it? And we often do that when we say the grace at the end. And it's good to bless the Lord, isn't it? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Because this morning we've been thanking the Lord quite a bit, haven't we? Even in difficult situations and circumstances, it's good to bless the Lord. Because when we bless the Lord, we too ourselves are blessed. Does that make sense? Because we're wanting the highest good and glory for the Lord, and that's what we're made to do. We are made to worship God, our Creator, because He is good. Blessing. Now, some of the modern translations, I'm not going to mention which ones, some of the modern translations, they don't translate this word correctly, blessed. They say happy. It's a nice word, isn't it? Happy. But the word happy means it's based on what happens to you. Blessed is much deeper than that. Much deeper. Blessed is a robust state. And it's not shaken by the things that we go through. We continue to be blessed, the Word of God says, even when it would appear in the circumstances that we face, in the circumstances that we're in, the enemy will say, you're not blessed, you are forsaken. He's forgotten about you. He's got no power. That's a filthy lie which we stand against in the name of Jesus, because even in the midst of the storm, whatever life can throw at us, we are blessed as we focus and fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm preaching to myself, having come through some of the most weird weeks of my ministry in 21 years. And it was fantastic on Wednesday evening when we were here at Alpha. I can't speak for the rest of you, but I was blessed. We had the DVD, and then we put on a bit of worship music, and I was in ministry mode to begin with, one eye open. Who wants to be prayed for? And the Lord says, close your eyes, shut up, and get a load of this. Awesome. Heat and the power came in. Thought, well, I'm having a blessed evening. Even the rest of them aren't. Bless their hearts. Thank you, Lord. That's what I needed. And that's what the Lord gave to me. He was here and present. Fantastic. Thank you, Lord, for that. I'll have whatever I'm given and be very grateful for it. So happiness is the pursuit of things in the world, and you will never be truly blessed and deeply satisfied with, even if you get everything the world can offer. That's been my experience, maybe yours as well. But being blessed is given something of the heart of God, which is eternal, which is completely robust and unshakable. Blessed is a more robust state, which comes from the indwelling power of God working through the one who is supremely focused on Jesus. It's more than that. We come to the second part. In the Beatitudes, Jesus states that there are 9 types of blessedness which draw the true disciple towards his heavenly Father and his kingdom. There are 9 aspects of the true gospel rooted in these Beatitudes. The first and the 9th, very interestingly, it says there's a kingdom assurance now. And the 2nd to the 8th is a blessed promise to come. So the first one says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have that now. We can have that through our relationship with Jesus. Without the disciple experiencing them and knowing about them, they cannot know God or see or enter the kingdom of heaven. So this is really serious stuff we're looking at about the Beatitudes. And like all of the teaching of Jesus, it isn't optional. This says it for a reason. It doesn't say, oh, by the way, this is my teaching, take it or leave it. We're not going into Tesco for our shopping. We don't buy everything. But this is all or nothing. That's what Jesus is like, isn't it? Not lukewarm. You're either hot or you're cold. Jesus says, this is my teaching. And the Holy Spirit wants us to listen and engage with his word today. And I believe that the word doesn't return void as a preacher. Otherwise, for 21 years, I've preached about 1,500 sermons. What a waste of time, humanly speaking. But I believe there'll be an eternal inheritance through preaching of the word. Even if you don't remember it 2 minutes after you've left this building, I'm holding on to it, that God will do something eternally through even my feeble efforts. Amen? I hope you believe that, amen. Because I do. Excellent. Okay. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what does poor in spirit mean? I used to do my daily devotionals based on the Open Doors devotionals, and it's called Daily Inspiration from the Lion's Den. And on July the 12th, it says, there's a reading about the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to read it to you. Acknowledging our poverty in spirit is humility. It occurs when a man or woman realizes his or her own utter lack of resources to meet life and finds his or her strength in God. Such an attitude leads one away from attachment to things to attachment to God and heaven. The word for poor here means absolute, abject poverty. We can thus paraphrase the first beatitude this way. Blessed are those who have realized their own utter helplessness and inadequacy and who have put their whole trust in God. Such a person will humbly accept the will of God and thus become a citizen of heaven. Christians, especially in countries like Pakistan, find this a great comfort, for the majority of them are road sweepers and do menial jobs that others will not do. They are denied better jobs, often because they are illiterate. Their children have no access to higher education, and so the cycle of poverty continues with little hope of a break. Surely this message is also for them. As they put their complete trust and hope in the Lord, they are assured of a place in the kingdom of God. A Chinese Christian woman, a leader in her church, was arrested and put in prison. Led of the Lord, she volunteered to do hard labor, cleaning the filthy prison cells on her knees. This humble work gave her opportunity to sing and share Jesus with the prisoners in each cell. Through her words and actions, many prisoners came to know the Lord in a personal relationship. Blessed are those who have realized their utter helplessness and inadequacy and have put their whole trust in God. Such a person will humbly accept the will of God and thus become a citizen of heaven. It is the opposite of spiritual pride. A deadly, deadly disease, spiritual pride. Proud churches, proud individuals are an offence to God. It says in Psalm 18:27, "You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty." I'll just turn, if you've got your Bible with me, turn to Psalm 36. It's another verse, Psalm 36, verses 1 and 2. I thought to read those. "I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin." I've come across many who are trusting in their own righteousness during my ministry, and they thought they could impress the minister. Not why they should bother doing that. They want to impress the minister about how righteous they are, their position, their education, their social standing, their religious affiliation, their looks, their health, and so on. If you've come across people like that, aren't they tedious to be around? I once had the misfortune to share an evening with one of the Red Arrow pilots. My wife Carolyn worked up in a school in Scuddon in Lincolnshire, and she had a wonderful TA in her classroom, and they had such a wonderful time. And this lady was married to Red One, the leader of the Red Arrows. And as we like to do, we said, "Well, why don't you and your husband come and share a meal with us?" And so they did. They came. And Kathy was a complete delight. I won't tell you the name of the other bloke because you might Google him. He came along and he was not happy going to the minister's house. And he told us how wonderful he was, how he could fly this plane and that plane. And indeed, he was a remarkably intelligent man. He was probably the most gifted RAF pilot, the fast jet pilot. But man alive, did he know it. Unfortunately, we did not join in the worship party. And he hardly spoke to us ever again. Oh dear, what a shame. He was completely closed to the gospel. He had absolutely no concept of what we were talking about here. Unfortunately, he was... I've met many wonderful military men, so I'm not having a go at military men, honestly, because I've had great fellowship with guys who are mighty men and true disciples of Jesus. But this man was totally arrogant. In fact, the first time I met him, I went to pick Carolyn up from the house, and he was watching a DVD of himself flying. I mean, you've got to have a lot of confidence to fly at 500 knots, about 3 feet away from somebody else. I understand that. But this man thought he could save himself. Blessed are those who have realized their own utter helplessness and inadequacy and have put their whole trust in God. Such a person will humbly accept the will of God and thus become a citizen of heaven. So, this word is for you if you've come to the end of your tether. If you can't figure everything out. If you're up the creek without a paddle, if your lift doesn't stop at the top floor, if your dreams and aspirations haven't materialised, if your plans have become a car crash, if you've been let down by others, if you're emotionally fragile, if you are broken-hearted, if you're chasing your tail, if you're generally discombobulated, this word is for you because the kingdom is yours. God the Father has a word for you, and I pray you'll listen to this and sift it. We're going to close this part of our service now. And this is what the Lord wants to say to each one of us here this morning. My darling child, you who are poor in spirit, my kingdom is yours. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Be open to my beloved only son, because he is good news to the poor. He has come to bind up your broken hearts. He has come to proclaim favor over you today. He has come to proclaim freedom today, you captive, he's come today to release you from darkness, even if you're in the prison of your own making or of this life's circumstances. You captives, he comes today to release you from darkness, even if you've been trapped by circumstances not of your own making. This is the time of my favour. This is a new season. My vengeance is on sin, but my love is towards the broken and repentant sinners. Some of you know the scriptures might be resonating with this because the Lord is speaking out of Isaiah 61, isn't he? And the manifesto of Jesus in Luke 4. And he's applying his word to us this morning. My son is ready to comfort you who are mourning, to bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes of your past failures. My son wants to clothe you now with a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. My darling child, you who are poor in spirit, my kingdom is yours. And Jesus says, and this was came out in some of the worship we had earlier. I'll close with this scripture, which will be familiar to most of you. So we consider being blessed in poor and poor in spirit and how ours is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would apply this word to each and every dear person here this morning as you've applied it and are applying it into my own life. Come unto the authority of your word, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you bring comfort, you bring strength, you bring faith, you bring joy, and you bring blessedness to each and every person here today in whatever circumstance they face, all for the glory of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to sing, and then we're going